It's one thing to be a natural sportsman,
yeah,
right? Because like I'm going to be the first player to say I would talk crap from the get go too, but I don't do it loud. You're
basically Tom Kim as well.
No, I'm not. No.
Welcome back to episode 71 of the Lagerhead Golf Podcast. I wanted to start this morning with just a little brief update. We are in the Carolinas, and obviously Western North Carolina was hit extremely hard with this hurricane. Hundreds of people, unfortunately, have passed, and they are still finding people. Thousands of people are being displaced. And in the golf industry, obviously golf courses have been destroyed, and all those employees have been displaced. So we're going to be donating some money to the Carolinas PGA. We're going to donate $500 to help with those funds. And if you guys would like to participate in these donations, I've got an address that I'll read off where you can reach out to the Carolinas PGA section. They are taking prepaid gift cards. The address for that is going to be 6271 Bryan Park Road, Brown Summit, North Carolina. Zip code is 27214. Attention, Hurricane Helen Relief. So again, we'll put that in the description here. But if you guys can help out, obviously it's worse than Hurricane Katrina, unfortunately, and they just got hit hard, and obviously it's in the mountains, so flooding typically doesn't happen to that extent, and I mean, it just
definitely unexpected, right?
So, thoughts and prayers are going out with them, and sure. If you guys can help in any way, if you don't help through the PGA, just, you know, obviously there's thousands of local boots-on-the-ground organizations that could use help, so... With that being said, tuning into our normal podcast, obviously, didn't want to start with too big of a damper, but, you know, it's unfortunate.
It's a way of life. Yeah, yep. It has to be said.
So, President's Cup was this past week. Obviously, some drama towards the end there, but overall, I think it was a little bit better than what we initially expected.
I was going to ask, was this a good President's Cup?
Yeah, it was actually pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was actually... I would say it was 7 out of 10, and we were expecting, like, 2 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to say I'd agree with you, Kyle. Like, it was actually fun to watch. There were good close matches. It felt competitive, even though the final score didn't really look as competitive.
Yeah. Someone guessed 18.5, 12.5.
I can't remember if I said 17.5 or 18.5, but...
Someone guessed it correctly. I think you said 17. I think you said...
I'd have to go back and rewatch.
Yeah, I was sitting there.
Replay the tapes.
2010 was looking good.
It looked good there for a while.
To answer your question, I would give this President's Cup a 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
I think it was terrible. I don't think the matches were that good. For the U.S. to dominate the way they did, and the reason why I'm saying this is the average margin of victory of holes won is usually between plus 25, plus 20. You know, Europe was a plus 26 hole. Win advantage over U.S.
to win by 5 or 6 points. It usually takes about 25.
Correct. This year it was
score
total holes won this year was 117 for the United States and 116 for the internationals. So for the hole one,
right,
to be just one, that means and the score to end up the way they did.
That's what I say. Like the
they
matches,
just folded like a lawn chair.
I think we'll get to it. I've got a question, one of our questions is who are the biggest winners and who are the biggest losers of the week?
Yeah.
But typically speaking, like if you would think when you saw that the score should have been within 1 point, if not tied or something like that, it could have been very close. I feel like Team International had a very good opportunity to win this President's Cup. They should have won it. Too many matches on the back nine. They took too many matches to the back nine with a lead.
They dominated
on the, back
the front nine.
Exactly. They carried a lead to the back nine, and too many matches got swung and ended up losing on the back nine.
Yeah.
That's I think as an American, that's why it was fun to watch, right? Because the Americans were always kind of rallying.
I sat there after Thursday when America swept it. They flipped pretty much every match on the back nine the first round, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, this event's over. Now, hear me out.
TV made Friday happen.
Hear me out. Everyone loves to say Kansas City Chiefs, NFL. You know, we might have some cheating. You know, the script. I think the script was in because I just think there's no way in hell the internationals go 5-0 the next day.
I don't either, to be honest.
I mean, and it showed on Saturday.
Yeah.
Internationals only won 2 matches on Saturday.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, taking Saturday into account. Early in the morning matches, you know, internationals had a – we got off to a good start.
And then here's my thing,
too.
U.S.'s pairings on Friday made zero sense.
No.
I mean, so I, and now that being said, I mean, for didn't Cantlay and Shoffley get boat raced on Friday?
I mean, that,
they lost like 7-6 basically. Or something like that.
Sometimes, you know, you get a player gets momentum.
And I get that. Like they were playing well, but I'm sitting here and I'm just like, there's just for when you look at the whole margin, you look at everything, and then you look at for the event to pretty much be over by Saturday midday.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday after the morning session that the
chances are
internationals slim. Had no shot to win.
Especially when they don't win a single one of those matches in the afternoon. You know,
but I think we can probably lead that into what we all have as our biggest winners and probably biggest losers of the event.
Yeah. I mean, for me, biggest loser, Mike Weir. but like, honestly, I mean, cause like when you look at the whole differential and then you look at the final score of the event, why did Team International lose this event? This is where they needed a captain that could position their team and position their pairings.
You don't play Jason Day all day on Saturday.
Clearly Mike Weir had
Taylor Pendrith plays 5 matches.
Well, so, and everybody's beat it up and like, it's already been said.
I know we're late. We're late to the party
game, but I mean, it's obvious. It's that obvious that Saturday Mike Weir had a plan and that was to, he was wanting to try and ride momentum and leave all 8 players to play all 36 holes or both matches, both sessions. Hindsight being 2020, when he lost all 4 matches in the afternoon session, it's like maybe should have done something different. You know, so that's my biggest loser.
Your because biggest loser is Mike Weir.
If Mike Weir had done something different on Saturday, they could have swung. All it would have taken is 1 or 2 matches on Saturday to swing, and momentum
they
swings
had,
totally different.
They had
on
to
Sunday.
Come and split the session, and correct. They had every opportunity to split or win the first session on Saturday, and ended up being 3-1.
I mean, Team International had a lead in all 4 matches in Saturday afternoon. I think 3 matches they had a lead on the back 9 and lost all 3 matches. I mean, the players had to be gassed.
I don't get this whole hometown captain. Like, you got to ask the question, why was Mike Weir even the captain to begin with? And they're only going to say...
Because
he's Canadian, right? And it just shows that this is more of a corporate / political outing than it is a tournament. Because it bodes a question, like, why did you choose, like, the 4th best golf course in Montreal? You know?
And, well, I mean, I think because they'd played the President's Cup there before.
Yeah. But before I get into mine, what's your biggest winners and losers, would you say?
Probably saying sorry.
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 Sorry. Sorry for losing.
Sorry, eh?
They need Ricky out there.
Yeah. the biggest loser, in my opinion, and I actually like him as a player until this week, was Tom Kim.
Yeah.
That's mine, too.
I put the Kims were up there, too, as my biggest losers.
it was bad. I mean, just say I'm a crybaby without saying I'm a crybaby.
Yeah.
You know, and he's really good
he's
friends.
He's the slowest crybaby in the entire world.
Oh, to my opinion, you can't talk that much trash on the golf course.
And not receive it.
And then go into the press conference and cry about it.
And go into the press conference and say there were some disrespectful things.
Right.
Poor gamesmanship.
Yeah.
It's like you on the third hole mouth, these MFers gonna find out. Like, right. like I'm sitting there and I'm like,
walking off the green to the next tee.
This is hole 3, dude. Like,
I say, let's try winning a match first before we.
Okay, I'll dive in because my biggest loser of this week was Tom Kim. Tom Kim, and here's my thing: a lot of media outlets, everyone saying someone had to bring energy. Honestly,
I applaud him for that.
No,
quite honestly,
I disagree. I disagree. Because they're trying to compare him to Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter doesn't talk shit on hole 3. He lets his match get to a point, and when it starts to get serious, that's when Ian Poulter would erupt. Right? He doesn't come out on the first tee and cheer the crowd and go ape shit.
And then it went 6 fairways over right.
Yeah, hit it 6 fairways over right, take 2 minutes to hit the ball. Right? It's one thing to be...
And then tell him to quiet down.
It's one thing to be a natural sportsman.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, I'm going to be the first player to say I would talk crap from the get-go, too. But I don't do it loud.
You're basically Tom Kim as well.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not going to walk 60 yards to another tee box while my playing competitors...
Patrick Reed. But what I was going to say is,
Patrick Reed, no dinner. He was silent until he wasn't.
Correct. Well, I mean, He was and he wasn't. But
him and Rory's match, they were just going back and forth, and then they erupted. One,
but now after that match, Reed started to kind of lean into that persona a little bit more, I feel like, and kind of try to create that energy.
You could tell it wasn't genuine.
Right. I would say your difference you're comparing there is like the Ian Poulters, like when we say Ian Poulters, like the
people that actually win these and match have play, things to back it up.
These match play specialists, you could, correct, I guess, call them, right?
Yeah, because Tom Kim went 1-3-1.
So. Always perform well in match play, especially Ryder Cups or President's Cups, regardless of how their play has been that whole year. They let the momentum build and the energy come to them.
Yeah, I just, right? I don't, Tom Kim, you're not that guy.
And Tom Kim was trying to create the energy on
his
own.
You're not that guy.
Tom Kim, you're not that guy.
Right. So,
I would say, if anything, because my winner for the international team is Siwoo Kim.
Yeah.
Siwoo Kim. But that's the thing. Siwoo Kim, like, I do not like what he did on 16 or 17.
It was 16 on Saturday.
I do not like what he did on 16 on Saturday. But that being said, his game showed this week that he stepped up when he was called.
He definitely played well.
He's the only guy on that team that played well. I mean, and people are trying to say Tom Kim played well. He went 1-3-1. I'm sitting here and I'm just like, nope. That's, and I know Christian Bizet now, it's the only one with a winning record on that side.
Maybe he should have played more matches.
He played bad that morning round with Taylor Pendrith. I mean, Taylor Pendrith.
On Friday?
Yeah, or Thursday. Sorry.
Thursday? Okay, yeah, well, he played Thursday. Did he play Friday?
Yeah.
Did he play Saturday?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he didn't play on Saturday?
He didn't play a single hole on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Him, Minwoo Lee, and so Jason Day?
The entire team got beat on Thursday. He wins Friday, sits all of Saturday, and wins on Sunday. I mean, he was one.
They didn't win on Friday. Or, yeah, they did. Sorry.
I mean, the whole team won. Everybody won on Friday. Yeah, you're Friday. Right. You know?
Mike, back to Mike Weir. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, I'm thinking of winners and losers. Losers, Tom Kim. I mean, your antics weren't cool. You didn't bring energy. The fans in Montreal were terrible. There was no energy on the golf course. I'm sounding like a Debbie Downer, but like, you can't host a match play event on a par 70. It just makes no sense to me. There was no feel to the golf course, right? To only have two par fives. Like, it just felt like there wasn't
that risk reward factor, correct, that comes there, from playing
the golf holes really didn't create drama, because the only drama that there was is everyone hit it to 15 feet and it was whoever made the 15 footer.
Yeah. Well, we did comment too, like a lot of the par fours, now granted there were a couple longer par fours.
We're all the same yardage.
But like the entire back nine felt like it was around a 430 yard par four, where all of these guys were hitting driver and a pitching wedge. They're hitting 115, 130 yard shot in. So it became a gap wedge or pitching wedge contest.
Which we saw, Sunday singles were a perfect example. Why these guys are so damn good, those wedge shots into one and two.
Yeah.
Everybody, across the board, internationals including, were just throwing darts. Mm-hmm. That's why those guys are good.
Yeah. Who were, I guess, Tyler, who was your biggest loser? You got anybody?
I had Tom Kim, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's pretty unanimous. Nobody liked Tom Kim. Sorry, Tom Kim. Who were our biggest winners?
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, that's what I had as mine as well.
I mean, Patrick Cantlay, he was kind of a little bit different from Rome of last year, but the silent killer.
Yeah.
Because Patrick Cantlay had every opportunity when he made that putt Saturday night to just absolutely give it back to them.
I was going
to
say, I'm glad you brought that up again, because, you know, a lot of people made fun of Wyndham Clark for giving back the night-night treatment, right?
Someone had to do it.
And I was going to say, someone had to do it, and I was like, really, Wyndham Clark just wasn't the guy to do it. He wasn't the right one. Like, if Cantlay would have done it, that would have been hilarious.
If Cantlay and Shoffley did it, how amazing. However,
that would it's probably better that he didn't.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Because he's already a little villain. He's just cold. A little vilified.
Correct. Yeah. He's just like a villain anyway. Yeah. He's not doing anything.
I mean, I'm the first person here on the podcast to say Patrick Cantlay is one of my least favorite golfers. I gained a little bit of respect for him this weekend. Yeah,
he played well. Him and Xander Shoffley both, I would say, were my probably biggest winners.
Shoffley's a dog. We don't have to worry about Shoffley when it comes to these teams.
He
team
came
events.
Out, and I mean, what did he do in his match on Sunday against Day? He shot 600 par?
He was 8 under.
Something. Yeah, I mean, he was 7 under. Yeah. Well, he made 7 birdies through the first 8 holes.
So,
is that all?
Is that good?
Or was it the first 9 holes? Whatever. But
I mean, those first two matches were great because you had Scheffler and Matsuyama throwing birdies all over the place.
I say, and then my final. And unfortunately, I didn't list anybody from international on this. My other one was Homa.
Homa's a winner?
Because of how he played on his Sunday singles.
I was going to say, that was the loser for the American team.
And because he had a pretty bad week, but he kind of knew he was going to have a rough week.
Here's my thing is, I'm going to say,
but he came out,
we can't grade him.
Maybe.
He didn't have enough.
I mean, he hasn't had a good year either.
Well, I'm saying I can't grade him. He wasn't on the course enough.
True.
He only played three matches.
Sunday singles, he came out and played solid.
I get that.
That's why I put him on there.
I mean, but gosh, I mean, this President's Cup proved.
Because I think everyone was expecting nothing out of him.
For him to hole out on hole one, that was dirty. Yeah. That was a filthy shot.
Good shot.
I don't know. The only positive thing I saw of Max the entire week was when he started drinking during the ceremony.
Dude, while Trudeau was speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just back there chugging a Budweiser. I was like, man, that's as American as it gets.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they have Budweiser up there. It's just, meanwhile, isn't Anheuser-Busch owned by a Chinese company now?
I think probably, so. Probably. I mean,
no, but I there was a lot of really cool moments. You had Ben Ann tweet.
The
PGA Tour put out the video of Wyndham Clark going night-night, boys, which, like, had to be said. You cannot do the night-night celebration and lose the match, Siwoo Kim. Unfortunately, yeah. Like, that's why I think Tom Kim and Siwoo, their antics were all so, like, they talked about it the night before.
Yeah.
Because you can't celebrate like that when you're tied.
Well, when you've just chipped in to tie the match.
To tie the match. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, you know, ultimately they end up losing. And then you have Ben Ann tweet at Wyndham Clark and says, there's always that one guy on your team that doesn't do shit, but has a lot to say. And then Wyndham Clark says, at least I had a tea time today. I mean, that's what we need. We need that in the golf world.
A little bit of that.
A perfect example is, you know, you NFL, they mic up players every week. And are they... They talk crap, and then when the players tackle each other or something, it's always like, hey, good tackle. Right. But, like, that's the thing. It's like you do have to have a little bit of animosity in these matches. I don't want people out there just shaking hands and, you know, it almost looked like the internationals were happy to lose.
Well, so that brings me up to my question I have, the biggest question I have about it. Why can't Team Internationals win?
They don't have the best players on their team.
That's probably a big factor, sure. Like,
I mean, there's four internationals that weren't on that team that are better than 90% of that team. Adam Scott, time to go to pasture, buddy. You're done. like, you're done. You're not going to win. Like,
but even
I know you've played well this year.
For the history of this event, though, they have had those players on their team and still have not won.
Last time they had their players, it was the closest it's ever been without the tie and the win.
They still didn't win.
I know.
So, like, why can't Team International win this event?
U.S. team's more talented. I mean, I don't
know that that's the answer, because Team USA has a hard time beating Team Europe. And more often than not, they have the more talented or higher-ranked team than Team Europe does.
It's hard when – how many different nationalities did you have on the team?
I think it's hard for them to come together. But this team looked pretty unified.
It looks manufactured, though. Like, it's just maybe.
They're kind of all Americans, so.
I think, bingo, I think that's the problem, is most of these internationals are basically Americans. They're basically Americans.
Or have
Americans.
Dual citizenship, yeah.
Huh? Or have dual citizenship, but they live here full time.
It's not, because where the animosity comes from in the Ryder Cup is the fact that those guys used to play on the European Tour and used to play on the PGA Tour.
I think that's the biggest part of it.
That's why Nick Faldo didn't like anybody from the U.S. team.
Right.
Right? Things like that. I agree. The international team doesn't have that. Now, here's my thing. Imagine you would have gotten that feel if Cam Smith and Joaquin Neiman and Carlos Ortiz were on the team this year, because they're not competing with those guys week in and week out.
It would have felt more like that.
Or even like a Marcel Siem, who's won twice this year.
He's Europe.
Correct.
He's a European.
Yeah. Isn't he German?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is what I was going to say. Why I asked, like, why can't the Team Internationals win? Is because this Team USA and how they played in their President's Cup. Yes, they won pretty handedly.
But they would have got boat raced by Europe.
Had that been Team Europe, they would have lost. They would have got boat raced by 5 or 6 points. I feel like
there was only eight guys on Team USA that played well this week that I think are going to be on the Ryder Cup team.
So that's the question I have. Is why can't Team International win? And it may even be a spin on that. Could be, is it so much that Team USA beat internationals handedly? Or, and I guess my question
the whole margin proves they didn't.
Correct. Why can't Team USA win those close matches against Team Europe and win those Ryder Cups?
I think the pressure is just heightened.
I don't know.
I don't know. We will never know.
Yeah.
Until it happens.
They can beat one team pretty easily, and the other team, they have a... I say they can't beat, but they did beat them the and one I guess year we can, at Whistling Straits, but...
We
that's dominated. That's the only dominated. Win but they've that
was,
had in a Ryder Cup.
But that was the worst Europe team, like, strength of a Europe
maybe
team
a decade.
That they've had.
Yeah.
I will say this. The way too early predictions, but how are we feeling about the U.S. team going into Bethpage next year after the President's Cup? Because they put a lot of weight.
A little bit better.
They put
now that they're going to allow the live guys to play.
Yeah.
You feel better?
I say if you swap out Brian Harmon.
Gone.
For Koepka.
For Koepka.
And Wyndham Clark.
And take out Wyndham Clark for Bryson DeChambeau. That's a solid team.
And then, obviously, I don't think Keegan's going to be playing.
I don't either.
I think he's a good enough golfer that his form might hold himself in the points. Yeah. He says he's not going to pick himself. But I don't think Sahith's game is quite there yet. I mean, he struck the ball very poorly this week.
It was also his first one of those events
I get
ever,
that.
Too, though.
But
you got to cut him a little bit of slack. Like
We're going to have rookies on this Ryder Cup team. Which I think for the President's Cup, they should have done. They should have had a guy like Akshay.
How about Sam Burns?
Sam Burns is going to be on that Ryder Cup
team.
Sam
Burns played great well. Actually, we could have put him as one of our biggest winners.
That was mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, he played awesome this week.
Undefeated.
There's one U.S. player that Hunter, just they need to definitely keep him away from the team bus, and that's Tony Finau. He was terrible.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but his putting was just too suspect for –
putting everything. Well, and this golf course should have been perfect for him.
Yeah.
He was one of the worst strokes gained all around.
Didn't he end up losing his singles match?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, we forget that, because he lost it like 3-2, I want to think, right? Or did he make it 8-2?
Corey Connors
beat him like 3-2.
3-2.
So he
lost. Which Corey Connors is a dog. He's good.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of Corey Connors. But Tony Finau was 2 up in that match. And lost 3 down.
Keyword there was.
Yes, but like, I mean.
But I will tell you this. USA has a new guy. A new guy part of the boys club. And he carried around the world number one this week.
Oh, yeah.
And Henley. His name's Russell Henley.
Yeah.
He is the perfect partner to have.
Yeah.
In match play. Because that man just doesn't miss a fairway and doesn't miss a green.
No, I was going to say, it could have listed him as a winner, too. Huh? I said, we could have listed him as a winner for...
For sure. I mean, the thing is, it's Xander, Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa,
who didn't miss the fairway all week. That's a six-player core in that President's Cup team.
USA has 9 guys right now that are pretty much their core players, including Bryson and Brooks.
Yeah, you want to go there.
Essentially, the rest of the PGA Tour is competing for 3 spots because the 9 guys, and guess who's going to have to compete to get those spots back in? The guys like Spieth, guys like JT, because there's 9 guys right now that I don't see anybody from the outside definitely swapping them. So,
no.
I mean, and just looking at their play, the biggest thing about match play is you can't take yourself out of the hole.
Correct.
And the guys like Tony Finau, Wyndham Clark, who was hitting slices all over the golf course, how he halved his match. I mean, but
I say, I don't know. I think definitely, like I say, the core part of Team USA
is
a little bit stronger about them now going into the Ryder Cup after this event.
Yep. But I think
time will tell.
Do we need to scrap the President's Cup? Is it done?
I think you need to change the format to something else.
What if they opened up the tournament with singles?
Or they do what we talked about last time, make it a co-ed event.
I think that would cause, like, they don't have a President's Cup for the women.
Because I think, here's my hear me out, since I haven't done one in a while. You bring back the WGCs or a match play throughout the year, at least 2 events. So 2 for the PGA Tour, 1 co-ed, and then that year co-ed for the match play would qualify you for the co-ed President's Cup.
The following year?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it needs a change because this was the year for the internationals to
win.
I mean, the team, like we said, team internationals or actually, should have won or actually, this event.
You give it, one more try because next year is at Medina.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they're going to give it one more try. Yeah. It's guaranteed to go next year. You give it one more try. Now, here's the thing. If guys like Cam Smith, Joaquin Neiman, Carlos Ortiz, who are higher ranked in the official world golf rankings than half of the international team this past week, right?
If
they're left off the team, you got to toss it out.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not serious about winning. You're only serious about political. Which the PGA Tour, unlike the Ryder Cup, the PGA Tour turns a profit on this event. It makes them money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so it's not – the competition's secondary.
Right.
So
they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, at least it gave us something to talk about, something different to watch. Starting your matches on Sunday at 12 o'clock when football's on, that's quite a decision. But, you know.
Bold move, Cotton.
And then also I think the President's Cup, it's important to go to iconic golf courses. Can't go to Royal Montreal.
No, and no shame on the golf course. Like, it looked like a
the next
it
two,
honestly looked like an awesome golf course.
The next two are going to be awesome.
Match. It's just not
the
a match.
The next two are going to be awesome because they go to Medina. Then after they go to Medina, they go to Kingston.
Yeah.
And back to Australia, which I imagine will be Adam Scott's debut as captain.
Probably.
So.
Like Kyle, I think you had some news about some putters you saw.
Yeah, so obviously, if you did watch it, you noticed all the new lap Ozzes were in play. Adam Scott used it for one round, then switched back, but Ben On kept it in play.
He only played like three times, but
Dustin Johnson.
It wasn't hard to keep it in play.
Dustin Johnson, the week prior, switched to DF3.
Yeah.
And then now this week at the, what is it, Sanderson Farms, you've got Ricky switching to a DF3.
Yeah.
So this little putter company from Oregon who, made some wild-looking putters and using some technology that currently 7 of the top 12 manufacturers are trying to copy, and they still can't do it.
They failed.
It's pretty cool to see. I think that's what the golf industry needed was a little guy to shake up the cookie-cutter mentality because, I mean, I've been a fitter for a long time. I know we've been around golf for a long time, and the putter market has really never changed. Your Newport's been a Newport. Your Ping Answer's been a Ping Answer. Your TaylorMade Spider's been a TaylorMade Spider.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the marketing's changed, or the colors, or maybe what type of insert.
Yeah, they're trying to say MOI and things like that.
But the actual concept of putting hasn't changed for those. And then you have Lab, who's been around for a while with the DF2. That was Bill Press's first putter. And now you've got these four core models with a fifth one coming out that's going to be a little bit more appealing.
So will this get the Golo fans, the Rossi fans, maybe into a Lab putter?
I think the biggest thing that you're seeing is they're not paying a single player, period.
Influencers are a different question.
Yeah, that might be a little bit different.
I have a Lab putter. If we post a YouTube video, you'll see Lab. I mean, Lab's number one putter on YouTube.
That would be my critique on Lab. They claim to not pay any players to use it, but they have sure given out a lot to some of these social media people.
I'll take one of these new ones.
We don't have enough time to talk about that.
I'll take one of the new ones.
But anyway. I think it's moving the needle.
Yeah, for sure. They're doing something different. It's pretty cool to see that.
And it's fully customizable. Like any color, any alignment aid, any shaft, any
grip.
Just
make sure you choose the right alignment aid.
Yeah. So.
But no, I think when the pictures came out, I sat there and I was like, damn it, I'm going to have to get another Lab.
Sure did. I was there when you said it.
Yep. Hey, I made everything I looked at this past weekend. So maybe my Lab stays. Or the other new putter goes in the back. I don't know.
No comment.
Yet to see.
Miles?
No comment Show and about tell? Making everything.
Huh?
I said no comment about making everything.
I'll make.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear Lord.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. So we've got basically the NCAA bracket.
You have to choose one.
The March Madness of ugliest putters ever.
Here's my thing. So my sister putted with one of those Blackhawks in high school.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. Dude, I think it was elite.
Uh-huh. I think we know somebody's got one of these, don't we?
Yeah. It's in the you can see it from right here.
The Biomech AccuLock.
Bam.
Yeah. It is hideous.
It's also lefty.
The one I don't see on here that is also a bad one is The Cure.
Who tried putting with the cube in competition? Was it Patrick?
Someone
putted with the cube.
What, Patrick Harrington?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
And then Tony Finau has his own version. Ping made him.
Yeah, yeah. With a plumber's neck. It's more of a training aid.
And he still can't get the sole flat on the ground.
Yeah. I think one that's missing here, Kyle, you'll appreciate this. The original Doc. What, the Doc 17? Oh, yeah.
The Doc 17 and the, what, the 21?
But and then, I guess the reason why it's not on this is it wouldn't have fit.
No.
On one of these boxes. It would just, hey. He was like, what is that?
I'm going to give all these putters a flush. Don't knock it till you try.
Exactly.
It.
Well,
I was going to say the Odyssey, and my opinion out of everything that's on there, that Odyssey was, if they would have came out with that right now versus 15 years ago,
they'd look like it would look like geniuses, right?
It would be the number one selling putter that Odyssey. I mean,
Tom McGainey used it.
He still does.
He uses
a two ball version. If they relaunch that right now versus what they would, it would be the number one putter hands down.
Yeah.
So. I like them.
Nah, I mean,
Sticky Golf.
The ice block is wild.
The name, nope.
Yeah.
Everything about that is.
I like the Vector. The Vector is half putter, half chipper. You can chip left hand.
Bradley putters would have been another good one. Bradley putters like makes all those out of wood. Right
there. Well, it's got a curve to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be afraid to try a different putter. You
know? Flush.
Let your freak flag fly.
I've been putting my sunglasses in here like an idiot. Why'd you guys put this up, huh?
I think this was a targeted ad.
I feel like this is a targeted ad. Has my phone been listening to me?
It's a concept for Yamaha or EasyGo to add this attachment to the
golf
cart.
You need a hot dog holder, right?
Yeah.
I think they should make weld permanent clips on the left side of the bar right there.
Yeah.
Either hold a cigar or a hot dog.
A glizzy Flush. Holder.
Huh?
Flush.
Actually, golf courses have to sell, you know, hot dogs in the first place to do it.
What a concept. A snack bar being open when golfers are on the course?
Wow. Very true.
That's asking a lot.
We won't get into that debate today. One of golf's great crimes. An easily walkable course plus 425-year-olds in carts. Makes me want to throw up.
Mike Clayton.
Mike Clayton, dude. That's a bad take.
You're an old head.
Bad take.
Yeah, Shank.
I'm glad everyone can have an opinion. Yeah. I have terrible opinions.
I was gonna say,
Mike Clayton has terrible opinions.
If I want to ride in a damn golf cart, I'll ride in the golf cart.
Well, that's a stupid statement. That's not even an opinion. How to make yourself look like an ass on Twitter 101. Or excuse me, X.
Yeah,
X.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been rolling around my feed, and I've seen a lot of people be like, I kind of agree. And it's like, trust me. There are certain golf courses that I have said that is a much better walk than it is cart ride.
There are definitely golf courses that are easier to walk than others. And
to you people that don't like walkers do play faster than golf carts. Just play faster
than golf carts.
It depends on the player, but
yeah.
Technically walking is not slower. that being said, walk, ride, it's your choice. You're paying the money to play the course. Don't give a damn about what other people think or Mike Clayton thinks.
Well, to light that fire again, the same people who probably think this also agree with the there should only be one cart fee statement too.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. In fact, the reason why they are adamant about walking a golf course is because they refuse to pay that cart fee.
Yeah. With a $7 Starbucks coffee.
How many times did you get? Oh, you put me down for riding? I walked.
Yeah, you walked the first tee and it threw your clubs on the back. Yeah.
I saw you riding by hole three, hopped in with your buddy.
All right, so we've got my golf spy. What tour player do you think would use a Kirkland golf ball?
Lexi Thompson, Ben Griffin, and John Daly.
No, John Daly wouldn't. He's a Bridgestone guy.
Actually, I saw this and I thought of somebody. I was like, this is perfect for that. But now I can't think of who.
Shoot, John Daly played a lion golf ball in a max fly.
Yeah.
Does it have to be straight up just the Kirkland, or can they work with Kirkland to make a ball?
No, it's got to be the Kirkland.
It's got to be the Kirkland because Kirkland comes from the same
factory.
But
after the lawsuit ball, too.
I was going to say Bryson. If he got to work.
No.
But God, no.
But he's
way too technical and scientific.
That's what I'm saying. Are they able to work with him?
No, we're saying no.
No, no, so, that's what I'm saying.
No, it has to be the new crappy ball, not the pre-lawsuit ball.
It can't be the Pro V1 that they released that was equal. I can't think of one right now. I mean,
we trashed on him with Tom Kim.
Well, like I said, Ben Griffin and Lexi and Daly are the best three.
Yeah.
Two of them signed with MaxFly for $1 gazillion.
I'll play a Kirkland if they want to give me money.
Anyway.
Heck, I'd play Kirkland if you know, give me my free premium Costco membership.
That's all it would take.
Unlimited glizzies.
And golf balls being paid for. Correct. And unlimited, and that membership.
I love Costco. It's a good place.
It's empty right now. Everybody's panic buying.
Yeah, I went through Harris Teeter yesterday and all the toilet paper and paper towels are gone. What is going on, man?
I went to Harris Teeter yesterday and everything. Well, they got to,
people have to soak the paper towels in milk and then they put their bread.
All right, go to the next one.
This is so stupid.
I saw this too. Yeah. PGA Tour
breaking news.
Testing in round player interviews this week.
But
limited to Thursdays on par threes, and it can only be about golf.
Is that like the tee to green thing, like where they had them mic'd up?
And yeah, well, like they've already been doing
experimented with this before, and
nobody it was liked it. It was a CBS thing. CBS was the only people doing it, I think.
It's a shank.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Really? Yeah. I like it. Hear me out. Okay. I think this is fine. Clearly, it's going to be scripted conversations, though. That's why I'm a myth. Like, that's what they're missing, but... I don't mind it. I wouldn't mind seeing some mid-round. Because we need, but here's my thing is, like, you know, you got people paying for Peacock, so put it only on Peacock. That way players can actually say what they want to say.
Yeah.
Because if they're having to
censor themselves,
then it's just not going to be genuine. You know, it's just...
I don't know. I don't really care about hearing...
Actually...
an interview, because, like, we know it's not going to be about... It's going tell us about how you're playing today.
How about maybe help the caddies make more money?
One shot at a time. If certain caddies
want to have a mic on their bag, allow them.
I would rather mic up more players or more caddies.
There's nothing I like more than when the mic is in there and you hear the player and caddy talking through the shot.
Yeah.
That's what we need to hear more.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yeah.
Something like that would be better than this, but this, I will say, is at least a decent start for me.
I was like, you're going to get the same standard answer for every golfer.
Be like every Tiger interview ever, played it really well and hit the ball really good.
Just hit fairways and greens, take it one shot at a time. Yeah, just keep my head down, keep grinding.
Yeah, it's
maybe I should take it one shot at a time if I can play like
100%.
That.
If you can put it into practice, but that's what they're going to say. Like, you're not going to find out anything new and exciting from this, I don't feel like.
I agree. I don't know. Something different.
Yeah. Shank.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening again. We're going to have that link in the description or at least some details below on how you can donate towards the hurricane relief. And we'll catch you on the next episode.